This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
He is a color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know him, you love him. Can't live without him, Brian Anderson. Brian, good morning. Thanks
What's
for your time.
BA?
Good morning, boys. I'll tell you what, that intro never gets old. That intro, I hear that intro, I want to make a U-turn right back to the gym. Right back to the gym, round two. Let's go, baby.
That's all Meredith. Meredith threw that together for you. I forgot we got into some Guns N' Roses discussion once, and Meredith threw that together, so that's all on her.
Night Train. Listen, Night Train is one of the one of their clean songs off of Appetite for Destruction, but that song never got any airplay. It was Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, and Paradise City. And Night Train, you could have fired that right on, but it never made the airwaves. And I think it's the best song in the album.
Well, you know the Browns, they do the guitar smash before kickoff. Now that's their bit, and they use Sweet Child of Mine as the music for that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a couple years now, yeah.
Think about when that album was released. What was that, 1985, 86, mid to late 80s?
I wasn't 10 years old back then. Thanks, Brian, for reminding me how old I am.
Well, no, hey, listen, I'm right with you. I am right with you. But here's the thing. That album is timeless.
If
that album got released next week, you would think, yeah, that's modern music. I mean, it jams that well, and it has stood the test of time. That album, just unbelievable, the staying power of that particular record.
March Madness here in Cleveland, we got a doubleheader of games over at Rocket Arena starting at 12:40. I did not do a bracket this year, Brian, honestly, because I just forgot about it. I am ashamed to sit here and admit that to you, but did you do a bracket, and who'd you pick in your Final Four?
I did not do a bracket, and I have not done a bracket in a long time. You know, the day and age of college basketball regular season, I don't pay attention to anymore because I don't know any of the players.
Yeah, you know
the teams, right? But with all of the one and dones, with the transfer portal, you just don't get to know the teams like you used to. And when you had a favorite team and you would, 2, 3 years, 4 years, guys, and you were able to follow them and get to know that team, get to know that particular group, it was a lot of fun. But it's just become, I don't know, I don't pay a lot of attention to the regular season, don't know a lot of the players, so therefore don't know a whole lot of the teams. And so I'm not going to fill out a bracket and just, willy-nilly put down who I think is going to win. Now, I'll pay attention to the tournament. That's a lot of fun because of the drama, the win, and you move on, lose, and obviously you're going home. But I will tell you, one of the last times I did a bracket, I was with Cleveland. And it was 1996, and it actually wasn't even a bracket. It was you paid money, and you got a pick of a team. And my team, I think I had Syracuse. I'd have to go back and check, but my team got into the money. The problem for me was at the end of spring training in 96, I had got sent down to AAA. So I'm on my way to Buffalo. So I'm in minor league camp as I get ready to start our minor league season as the NCAA tournament is coming to a close. And my team ended up in the money. So I had a chance to win some money, and I got called up relatively quickly in that season. And Eddie Murray was the guy that was in charge of the tournament that particular year. And so I went to him when I got called up, and I said, I believe that I'm supposed to come see you because I think my team ended up in the money. You know, on and on we go. You can imagine how it went. He right. looked at me and he said, we don't pay out to minor leagues.
Yeah.
So I never got my money for that because, well, I was a minor leaguer. I was telling the story this morning to a couple of buddies at the gym. And I'll follow that up with, you know, we used to have Kangaroo Court, which they don't do anymore because I think that the modern player, they don't want to get their feelings hurt. So they don't have Kangaroo Court anymore. But we used to have Kangaroo Court. And my favorite find is you'd have some young rookie and he'd get called up early June, all excited, taste of the big leagues. Here we go. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, we'd have Kangaroo Court and he would get brought up on charges. Of course, he's wondering, what could I have possibly done wrong in the last 3 or 4 days? But he would end up getting charged with showing up to the season late and fined for that. And bro, I mean, it's one of those, it never gets old. You always laugh. Just like when we get on an elevator, when you travel with a baseball team, you better have thick skin. And when we get on an elevator, whoever, and I don't care what floor it is, whoever, and it could be a civilian, it could be another family just happens to be on vacation at the same hotel that we are. But whoever gets off the elevator first, whoever has pressed the lowest floor on the elevator, as soon as those doors open up, guys will be like, stairs, take the stairs. you're doing this to a family who doesn't know who you are, and the door opens, and someone just goes, stairs. The joke never gets old. Childish, without question, but it never gets old.
It's like right up there with jumping when the elevator takes off so that you get that moment and then you scare the hell out of everybody else who's around you. Is it uncomfortable with the elevator to begin with?
Of course. Right, because you every now and then you hear that story about the elevator that got stuck. Yep. And it took a couple of hours and you're stuck in this little box. Yeah, no one likes that. So no unnecessary movement whatsoever. There's so many different things that would go on during even plane rides. Even plane rides, the things that guys would say on final descent, and you're looking at them like, really? We're gonna play that yet? Can we just get wheels to the ground, please? I don't need to hear you saying the things that you're saying. I won't even repeat.
All right, the best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, BA, have you seen the ABS system yet? The automatic ball and strike system challenge, all that kind of stuff?
Yes,
what
I
do
have.
You think?
Intriguing. You know, as long as it's limited, I mean, do not allow it to become like college basketball where you can challenge everything at all times. I mean, on and on and on you go. If you give a couple, you know, to each team and you've got to be strategic about it, it's not going to be a borderline pitch in the first inning because who really cares? It's the same way with the manager's challenge. You know, a close play in the first inning, you may be right, but do you want to take a chance of losing your challenge early on what turns out to be a nothing play, or do you want to hold on to that until later? So there's a strategy to it, and as long as they don't overdo it, then it's intriguing, and let's see how it plays out, and as long as it's not holding the game back and becoming, you know, cumbersome as far as the delay goes, as long as it's quick and to the point and it's not overdone, then, you know, listen, there have been a lot of changes made recently that have been really good, I think, for the game, and that could be another one.
BA, I was watching the Guards-Reds game the other night, and it got used 3 or 4 times, and the umpires were wrong every time. I mean, it was rather rapid. It was like a 15-second, you know, a delay. You know, the umpire stepped back, I think, looked to the press box or whatever, and then, you know, announced the ruling, and they went on with things. It didn't seem to be all that obtrusive to the pace of the game. And I think it was because, you know, to your point, every pitch wasn't being challenged. It was just 3 or 4 pitches in the 9-inning game.
Yeah, and you can live with that. You can absolutely live with that because, you know, listen, a count can swing in a big way. You know, you think about the difference. You know, you used to talk about, always used to prioritize strike one. You got to get strike one. Boom. Start the count out 0-1. And that's great. That's great. But the most important count in baseball is, what are you going to do on a 1-1 pitch? Because you either swing to 1-2, which is a huge advantage pitcher, or you fall behind 2-1. And all of a sudden that momentum swings in a huge way right. to the hitter. So that's the biggest pitch. So when you get to counts like that, it can really make a difference in a game, you know, a swing like that. So as long as it's not being overdone, then if the technology is there and you're doing it 3 or 4 times in a 9-inning game, not that big of a deal, then let's go for it.
What do you think of the season opening in Japan? You like that idea, or you're like, why aren't we doing this stateside?
No. Yeah, I don't. I understand why they're doing it. It's a business. They're trying to grow the game over there. You understand why. Doesn't mean you have to particularly like it. And if that makes me an old guy out there yelling at clouds, so be it. But how many people do you think that are invested in Major League Baseball have looked at Major League Baseball already having their opening day? Nobody. Nobody. Those are throwaway games. And I know they count, but nobody cares. They start at 6 in the morning. You know, your diehards will watch because it's the first, you know, pitch that counts during the course of the season. But nobody is looking at that like it's opening day. Opening day is, you know, for the vast majority of the league is next Thursday. We don't open up till Friday to try to get Steinbrenner Field ready for the Rays after the Yankees, you know, leave and head north to wherever they're going to play. So we have an extra day, but next Thursday is Major League Baseball opening day, and starting it in Japan, I'm not a huge fan of. Again, understand why they're doing it, but you know, it should be over here.
Color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, former Cleveland Indian, Brian Anderson, joining us. Brian, you opened the door there. What is going on with the Rays and their stadium situation? Is that franchise in danger of having to leave that market? Or do you think a new stadium, because I don't think they can stay in Tropicana Field whether they fix it up or not, are they going to get something built closer to where people actually want to go watch baseball, and that's closer to Tampa?
You know what? Your answer to that question would be as good as mine. I really have no idea. I know that the Rays and the Rays owner, Stu Sternberg, came out maybe a week and a half ago, they're foregoing this particular stadium deal. They had to make a decision by the end of March, and that has fallen through. So really, at this point, I don't know where they stand. I don't know if there are negotiations going on behind the scenes. Everything's been pretty quiet since that happened. So I don't know. And I would imagine that all options are on the table. So, I'd love to have a better answer than that for you, but I don't know. It's a huge unknown. Are they going to go ahead and fix Tropicana Field to try to get the Rays back into it? Because how many years are the Yankees going to allow the team to, you know, to use Steinbrenner?
Right.
You have that this year. That's on the, you know, on the table for this particular season. And, you know, that's great. But moving forward, where are you going to go? And if Tropicana Field doesn't get fixed, where do you go? Do you try to go back? You know, I mean, there are so many questions. And unfortunately, I don't think there are many answers out there, and I certainly don't have any.
Well, I know one question I can ask you that I'm praying you have an answer for, because I know you're a big Browns fan. I'm on record. I really don't care what they do at quarterback, because I just think all the options are yuck. Who do you want them to bring in to be the quarterback to get them through this season?
Oh, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's our guy, right? Let's go get the last couple of months of two seasons ago. You know what? I don't know. I really don't know. Like you said, it's a crapshoot. That obviously is the most important position. And, you know, that's gonna end up making or breaking, because there's talent all over the place on that team. But you need that leader. You need the guy under center that is going to be the difference maker and going to allow you a chance to play, you know, and get deep into the playoffs. I don't know who that's going to be. And I haven't followed it that closely, but just from...
You're not missing much, by the way.
I followed the free agency closely. But the draft, you know, Theodore Sanders, those seem to be the top two guys. But I haven't heard people just falling all over themselves to make sure that they get one of them. You know, it's kind of like, these are the top two, you know, relative to years past, maybe they don't measure up to some other guy. So you don't even look at the draft as a place that you're going to be able to go and get a surefire blue chipper. So, you know, I saw a mock draft yesterday where they were talking about the Browns taking Abdul Carter and teaming him up with Myles Garrett. My good Lord. right. opposing quarterbacks look out. I mean, that could be a scary combo. That could be a lot of fun if they feel like they can get someone to be able to hold down the fort as far as the quarterback position goes. But you know what? If you did that and you built that defense to be suffocating, then you don't need a superstar quarterback. Just be a guy that manages, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, a guy that, you know what I mean, occasionally is going to make the play, but he's not going to hurt you. And let that defense do its thing. Maybe that's your best chance. I don't know. I'm not the football guy. I'll be interested to see what they end up doing. But I know that next season, I hope, is a whole lot more interesting than this past one.
Right, I'm the football guy, and, well, I don't know either. It's like, do you want one to the temple or two to the chest? That's how I feel like I'm Crash Davis standing in the locker room watching Nuke LaLoosh talk to the media, and I'm just like, this is hopeless. This is just utterly hopeless.
Yeah, but let's not do that. Let's not be hopeless on the Browns season in March. No, please, no.
Brian, love you, my friend. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate you, and enjoy the Rays down there in Florida.
We'll talk, brother. Take
Absolutely.
Care of yourself.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, boys. Have a great weekend.
You betcha. Well, that's Brian Anderson. The He's the color analyst of the Tampa Bay Rays on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was Brian Anderson, friend of the show, color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, also former Cleveland Indian, talking about the potential the Browns might go defense with the second overall pick in the upcoming draft. I think they're going to go quarterback, not because they want to, not because they should, but because, well, they have to. And if you missed that interview, well, you can use the fabulous rewind function on the Odyssey app. Don't miss a moment from earlier in our show or any of our local shows on 92.3 The Fan. Click the rewind function on the Odyssey app, brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com to listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours. Good stuff from Brian. Touched on a variety of topics, including what you just heard there from him about what the Browns may or may not do come April. I thought he had some interesting comments about the ABS system that is being tested out here during spring training. With teams giving hitters opportunities to selectively challenge some ball strike calls. What I saw earlier this week, I thought worked really well, as long as, like, you know, Brian had talked about, I think the key is they can't get obnoxious with it. And so if they can find that happy medium to, I like the batter touching the helmet. There's a way not to, you know, show up the umpire, right?
Right.
But I like that. Touch the helmet to ask for the review. It, like, takes 15 seconds. It's not like a college football or an NBA review where they take like 5 minutes to look at something. It's rather quick. So I don't think it's going to affect the pace of the game, but I think they got to figure out number of challenges and applications and all that kind of stuff. But I really like that.
Yeah, it's like challenging faults in tennis. If you've ever watched tennis before, and you can challenge the outline or anything along like that, that's the way that they go about it. It worked very quickly like that, and especially, again, seeing it in person when I was out in Arizona for a bunch of spring training games, like, it was really simple. You'd watch the pitcher touch their cap if they disagreed, and then umpire would come on a speaker system. You know, the pitcher has challenged the previous call. We all look at the screen. It shows the call. It goes red if it touches the strike zone by however much the ball touches the strike zone. Good. That's a strike. We move on. You know, like, it moves that quickly. It's really, really nice. Like, they did a great job with it. And if they decide to implement it, it will not be there this year. But if they decide to implement it next year, I'm in. As long as you keep it quick. That's all I ask. And what you're saying, limit the amount of challenges. So then that way we're not doing a whole bunch of them and we're not making a mess out of it.
I'm interested because robot umps, that's been something that has been talked about around Major League Baseball for a couple of years now. Since they started putting, I forget what it was called, but when you'd bring up the game cast on a team website or an MLB website, right, where you could, you know, it tracks every single pitch. They try and tell you what.
Yeah, Statcast, you know, all that
Statcast,
kind of stuff.
Yep. That's what it is. Yep, yep. When they put that system in all of the major league ballparks, I remember when that, I was like, yeah, we're getting to the robot ump part at some point here. And I think that this ABS system might be the next step towards that. Because, again, all the calls were overturned. Mm-hmm. Like, the challenges were all successful. Now, I don't know if that's an indictment of the plate umpiring, or it just the system is that good. But I'm interested to see what the statistics, the success statistics of challenges on balls and strikes are coming out of spring training. I hope Major League Baseball will be transparent. I just said that with a straight face. And I hope Major League Baseball is going to be transparent with those statistics, because I'm very curious what it's going to look like.
Because I don't think it would be that hurtful. I don't think it would be that harmful. We all know how hard it is to judge these, you know, breaking balls and that kind of stuff now, and judge fastballs and all of that. And yes, we can all scream and yell about how bad Angel Hernandez is now that he's retired, or how bad CB Buckner is, or how bad anybody else that we want to point to of umpires, you know, because of how bad they are. Like, I get that. But in a sense as well, we have all of this data out here. We can find all of this. Teams have it. Why not just release it? It's not like, you know, umpires are going to be treated any worse than already be treated.
Yeah, I am very curious of how Major League Baseball is going to move forward with it, because the technology, just on the surface, looks really great. It looks accurate. Mm-hmm. It looks efficient. But then the old school person in me, it's something I struggle with, because I realize rules and sports, you got to evolve with the times. If you don't, you get left behind. But there is a human element to all sport.
Correct.
And calls are going to get missed. They're going to get blown. And there is part of me that doesn't want to see that disappear from the game. I like the complaining about the umpires. I think managers should be able to rip umpires. Last week, JB Bickerstaff went off on the official.
Yes, he did.
I have no problems with coaches going off on officials if the officials have a bad night. Yeah. The Cavs game against the Orlando Magic Sunday afternoon. Like, awful, awful day for that officiating crew. And not a lot of people wanted to say anything about it because they didn't want to have to make a donation to the NBA retirement fund by doing so. But, like, I have no issue if there's a little bit of a beef with the officiating and a coach, player, manager wants to say something about it. I mean, as long as you keep it professional and you don't make it personal, you don't get into name calling and things like the parameters around it, right? As Ken Carmen likes to say, keep it within the boundaries of good taste.
Yeah.
I really don't have a problem with that, but I do like the human element in sport. And this, you're talking to a Saints fan here who has gotten the wrong end of that stick multiple times in the playoffs.
That is correct.
I blame NFL officiating as to why Drew Brees only came away with one Super Bowl ring. Okay? Still salty about it. But
it's understandable.
I also understand there is that human element that comes with sport, and calls do get missed. Mistakes do get made. And, you know, after I'm done losing sleep over a bad call, life goes on.
But if you have the technology to get that stuff correct, and especially with balls and strikes, where it's relatively easy and you're not talking about fouls that are, you know, or even football penalties and that kind of stuff that are more, you know, obligatory, a little bit more to the human element on it, balls and strikes are really isn't much of a human element. It either is or it isn't. It just depends on the umpire's ability to see and where they're judging the strike zone in that day. And if we could get rid of a situation where the strike zone varies at every single umpire, I think we would be in a better place. Now, you would get rid of the human element part of, like, pitch framing, which has become a serious art,
right?
And the Guardians are proof of that, and why Austin Hedges is on this team is because of pitch framing, pitch control, and vibes. And so,
I was going to say, I think Austin Hedges is here for vibes. I don't know about the pitch framing or anything
else. He's pretty good at that stuff, and handling a pitching staff, he's pretty high up there on all of that stuff, and of course,
he's the vibes guy.
Vibes. You got to have vibes. Positive vibes are a hell of a thing. But, like, I think there's some element of that that could be in there. So, like, if you get rid of balls and strike call from the umpire, I'm in. Like, get the call right. Yep. Especially now the way all this stuff is moving the way it is. And they're only throwing faster until, sadly, your elbow explodes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other flip side. If you got the technology to get it right, why not use the technology? 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder, Dan Medigan, in for Baskin and Phelps. They have the day off. Lucky them. We're with you till 2. Mike, see you there. Hang tight. We'll get to you next right here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of bouncing around this morning on a Friday. If you are in town for the NCAA tournament, welcome to Cleveland. Great place to visit. We've got two sessions over at Rocket Arena today, the afternoon session, 12:40 tip-off. Number 15, Robert Morris, taking on number 2, Alabama. At 3:15, number 10, Vanderbilt against number 7, St. Mary's. And then the evening session, starting at 7:25, it's number 10, New Mexico against number 7, Marquette. And then the nightcap at 10 o'clock or somewhere thereabouts, number 15, Bryant, taking on number 2, Michigan State. Again, that is the NCAA tournament schedule over at Rocket Arena. We're diving a little bit into the what I call the utterly hopeless Browns quarterback situation right now. I told you so. There are no good options. It is as bad and utterly hopeless as I've been telling you for weeks and had every single one of our hosts criticize me for and tell me how negative I am and just how much I hate the world. Right? That's what the morning show said today, right? No, angry Daryl. That's what they said.
They called you angry.
They called me angry Daryl. I'm not angry. I'm past the anger stage of the grieving process here. I'm at the acceptance stage. It just all stinks. There are no good options. I don't want to see Russell Wilson in a Browns uniform. I don't want to see Carson Wentz in a Browns uniform. You know what? At this point, I don't know, maybe hold auditions in the muni lot.
This has gone from victory lap to victory 5K. You realize this?
I mean, like, it is just from one yuck to the next yuck. And that's not a compliment.
No, there are no good options. We've been saying that for a while. There are some options that smell a little better than other options. But there is none that you're going to point to and say, that's the guy who's going to take us where we need to go, especially in free agency. Now, again, the draft, the ultimate coin flip, we'll see.
AKA the Super Bowl. I mean, look, the Browns are bringing in Journey. I mean, that you want to know how big this is. Like, they didn't book Journey when they had the number 1 pick in the draft. They have the number 2 pick. They booked Journey down at Huntington Bank Field for the big draft extravaganza or whatever it is. They're going to call it, right? That's how big this draft is.
Bringing the season ticket holders. They're going to Don't Stop Believing blaring.
Do they play Don't Stop Believing after the pick or before the pick?
I think after, right? I think
what
you
if they wound
after.
Up playing Worlds Apart instead?
Well, I was going to say Separate Ways, but they re-signed Miles. So they bought his love and loyalty for the next, 6 years. So I think that might actually be off the set list. But yeah, I mean, that's just where I'm at. I wish I'd like had some grand hot take. I wish I had some great solution, because one of my things in life, I do a lot of complaining. Ask anyone, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I also try and have I try and have solutions with those complaints.
Any idiot can point out a problem. A true genius is the one who solves them.
Right. And I'd like to sometimes consider myself to be a genius in my own mind. And I have no solution. I really don't. There is no clear cut. If the I love Ken. We go back and forth all the time. And he, Daryl, what's your plan? I don't have a plan, because there is no good plan. And if I'm going to have a plan, I want it to be good, right? I just don't want to make it up. I've reached make it up stage. That's where I'm at. I'm just going to make it up. Okay, Russell wasn't great. Okay, you may win 6 games.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz. Okay, good. Congratulations. You may win 6 games, and the rookie is going to start by week 7. That's just where we're at. I think ultimately, the more I contemplate the current situation, the more I'm thinking they're going to take a quarterback because, well, they have to. They don't have a choice. And so that quarterback needs to start week 1. Because God forbid if I have to watch Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz start games for the Cleveland Browns. Nobody wants to see that happen, by the way.
But that's probably the direction this is going, or else they wouldn't be talking to these veteran quarterbacks.
Well, they need another veteran. There's no question about it. You can't have Kenny Pickett as your number 2. He's your number 3, right? You still need a number 2. But
I think he might be your number 2. He might be your number 2, man. I know that's what nobody wants to hear in this regard, but I think Kenny Pickett might be your number 2 on the depth chart. And then if they take... I partially wonder if it's going to be rookie Project X, if it's going to be Tyler Shuck, if it's going to be, former Ohio State quarterback, went to Syracuse. I'm totally blanking on his name. Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
Might be Kyle McCord. Might be Will Howard. Might be, like, right. I could see them going that route, because anything they do there, it puts you in a position where, hey, maybe this guy pops. And if he doesn't, oh, well, we could just move on from him and next year go after somebody else.
I almost get depressed the more I talk about it. 216-474-0092. Mike is in Stowe. He's got some thoughts on what the Browns should do. Mike, you're next up on the Mike. Fan.
God, you guys, you're really thinking what I'm thinking. It's really nice to have this aligned morning on a Friday. I've listened to Daryl go this route, and he feels like he's working himself out of what he's logically said before, and I'm totally with him on it. And that's, what we're left with, and we knew we were going to be left with this. And, I think the best way to look at it is this. You take what you should be taking. A risk at 2 at quarterback is clearly there. That is just seemingly not what you should go to. Daryl's talked about trading down before. I'm all for that. Meat and potatoes of this draft is interior line, at least at where we're drafting, the solid guys, right? And we need those things.
Yeah, this draft is tight ends, running backs, defensive tackles, a couple defensive end, and linebacker.
It's called meat and potatoes, Mike. Come on. Meat and potato draft.
The guy at that Abdul Carter guy would look really good. There's a lot of really good options where we're at, but I think that some of this posturing with Russell and so forth is, and I'll get to my point for a second here, is just showing that we might have interest, so maybe somebody can come up and get a quarterback at 2. We've got to really make it sexy for somebody to want to come up, because that's getting better value for it. That's what you want to do. This is the time to be, primping up the house, whatever you want to call it. So I love the idea of just getting what we should get, or trade down if their offer's not right, and then go later at the quarterback. Get what we need to, because, look, we need linemen. I watch that offensive line. We're getting old and we're expensive. And,
Well, they brought in a couple of linemen here this offseason in the last couple of weeks, so that's good, and thanks for the call.
Cornelius Lucas is, what, 31? Like, that's not exactly getting a whole lot younger, though.
Yeah, I know, but the – they're a little deeper and better on the offensive line than they were.
Agreed. They definitely addressed the trenches.
Let's head out to Geneva. Ryan, you're next up on the Fan.
All right, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I swear Daryl Ryder and I are spirit animals.
I'm so sorry for you.
Daryl, listen, I couldn't agree more with you about 90% of the time. you know, I have a friend of mine, Brian, we talk about these kind of things and, you know, 92.3, what we hear on the radio. And, you know, he kind of had the same sentiment as you said earlier, you know, oh, you know, he comes off as negative or, you know, pessimistic. Listen, it's called being a realist. This situation is garbage. It's flat out garbage. It's garbage for the better part of more than 20 years, minus maybe about three decent years. We got ourselves into a situation, being Browns fans, where we have ownership and Browns upper management continually chasing people, whether they're here in the building already or not, that don't want to be here. They come out and say they want nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns organization, and it just makes it out as if they just long for them more. And how did it work out with Watson? How did it work out with Deshaun Watson?
It's like chasing Miles the hot girl, right? She tells you no, but you keep asking her out, right?
Yeah, well, I called the other day, and I talked to, I don't remember which host it was, but I compared Andrew Berry in the Browns organization to Steve Urkel from Family Matters.
Whoa!
Pining after Laura Winslow the whole time. I mean, don't they want to have people play for their team that actually want to be here? I mean, you see what happens when you bring a guy in that doesn't really want to be here. You see the product on the field. I mean, injuries or not, the product was garbage. I mean, as far as the Miles thing goes, I was hoping they'd get a lot for him. By the time that contract's going to be over, he's going to be 35. He's already having foot issues, you know. And in regards to the quarterback, I mean, I don't even know what you do at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, my contingency plan before I heard he announced he's not coming out after next year was you're going to be garbage anyway. I don't believe in any of the quarterbacks coming out this year fully, at least not at two. And I guess Cam Ward's probably already going to be gone anyway. And I definitely don't believe in Sanders. So my thing was, you're going to stink anyway. You might as well stink and get a Manning in here next year. But now I hear that he's not coming out after next year.
Well, maybe he's afraid the Browns might have the pick. Ryan, thanks for the call. By the way, hopefully you feel better after that.
Yeah, exactly.
And might have been cathartic for him just to get that out.
Just to get all of that anger out on top of it. But, and who knows? We know it's the Mannings. They did the same thing with Eli, where they'll kind of play the game a little bit.
What if you let one of them come in and run the franchise?
I feel like...
Hey, listen, at this point, I'm very open-minded about everything.
I feel like
I'm willing to try just about anything at this point, because everything that's been tried up to this point, none of it's worked. None. So, why not?
How often in football does it work where you bring in the former quarterback and then everything clicks into place and rolls well?
And then you hire his kid to be the quarterback.
His nephew.
Nephew.
But, like Elway with the Broncos. The Broncos were a mess when Elway was up there running things. Marino with the Dolphins. The Dolphins were kind of ugly when Marino was involved in everything they were doing. Like, I feel like in football, this doesn't work as well as it does. It's like, oh yeah, Larry Bird will come in and coach the Indiana Pacers.
Hey, the Browns went the Mike Holmgren route, right?
Mike Holmgren.
He spent his whole time riding in a golf cart with his feet propped up and a drink with an umbrella in it. Also riding his Harley in and out of Rio.
Loud, very comfortable shirts.
20 minutes before the media showed up, and then 20 minutes after the media went home. He hopped on the Harley. Best $40 million heist in, I don't want to say pro sports history, because there have been some pretty good and great heists in sports history. But Mike Holmgren and the money he made off of the Lerner family for doing virtually nothing other than holding a couple of press conferences that gave us chef's kiss, sound bites to last lifetimes.
Well, call me for playoff tickets.
It's not business as usual here. Don't do that. Don't say that.
Well, call me asking for playoff tickets.
216-474-0092. Anthony, Kyle, Ken, see you there. Hang tight. We'll get to you next. Daryl Ryder, Dan Menigan, in for Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.